This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. This week's episode is brought to you by the Wonder Bash, which is a great convention coming up in Grand Rapids, Michigan in just a couple of weeks. It goes from April the 18th to the 20th, and you should go and check that out by going to their website at More Than Tricks, and they will give you more information there, and you can also register for the convention. It promised to be another great convention. There'll be a little bit more information that we'll share with you when we talk with one of the organizers later on in the program. This week, we're going to welcome, Santa Claus, the Santa Claus from Colorado, and that is Mark Whitehouse. Now, Mark is also a past national president of the Society of American Magicians, and he also has a character that he portrays when he's doing children's parties and libraries and schools that was kind of based upon an Inspector Gadget that he made into an Inspector Magic, and he talks a little bit about how he developed that character and everything that as well as, of course, how to develop his Santa Claus. Now, I have been doing this with him. I've been doing it here in Texas, and he's been doing it in Colorado, but beyond that, he's been taking it internationally as well. And so he gives a few tips. Actually, we both give a few tips as to how that you, if you're interested in becoming Santa Claus and perhaps getting into this rather lucrative area of entertainment then as well. And we're going to talk about that here in this podcast, among so many different other things. Mark is also the current co-chairman, along with Dal Sanders, as they are going to be the ones presenting Magic Texas, which is the combined name that we call for the Texas Association of Magicians, the SAM and FISM, and the North American Championships of Magic, which is going to be held over Labor Day weekend coming up the first of September. Anyhow, we'll talk a little bit about that then also because he's involved with that. And we get to talk a little bit about how that and the importance of joining magic clubs, because that's where at the grassroots we work with magic exposure. Whenever that there is some magic exposure, the clubs can then bring it to the attention of national, and then the Ethics and Grievance Committee can take it from there. So we talk a little bit about that and how that you can help whenever you see exposure. Well, I'm going to kind of step out of the way and let Mark do some of the talking here this week. We happen to be in Colorado Springs following a rather torrential blizzard they had of about 24 inches of snow in 24 hours. But we finally got together to sit down and chat. So please welcome my guest this week, Mr. Mark Whitehouse, here on The Magic Word. Today, my guest is a past president of the, I should say, past national president of the Society of American Magicians, and he served back in the year 2010. He has also been continuing to be involved with the SAM from the standpoint of serving on various committees and working with conventions as convention chairman. In fact, this year, we are having the combined convention with the Society of American Magicians along with the Texas Association of Magicians and the FISM and North American Championships of Magic. So we're having a big convention coming up over Labor Day weekend, which is the first weekend in September. And more about that if you just check the convention guide on that. But Dal Sanders and Mark Whitehouse is the ones who are spearheading that, and it's going to be super. We're going to talk a little bit about that today then as well. But also, we are actually here in Colorado Springs, which is the home where Mark lives. And he is, as a professional magician, does a lot of schools, I guess, as well as children's parties as Inspector Magic. I'm sure that many of you have heard of Inspector Gadget, who was the cartoon character that all these cool things pop out. And so he has one that is called Inspector Magic. So he's developed his own little character. And I think that that's something worth getting into about how that one does develop a character. And there's so much to talk about. This hour is going to go really fast. So I want to welcome my guest. Please welcome not just a guest, but a good friend. In fact, we were roommates at Blackpool this year, Mark Whitehouse. Hey there, Mark. How are you, sir?
Hi, Scotty. It's so good to see you.
Well, you as well.
Welcome to Colorado. And what do we have? 24 inches of snow out
today? 4 inches. That's right. We were trying to talk yesterday, but because of the road conditions that he couldn't make it over here. The road conditions to get to his house or to my house were just impassable. And that even closed down I-25 for a little while yesterday, which is the main thoroughfare from Denver through Colorado Springs. Anyhow, we finally got together. And I got here. I slid in just before the snow came, and it dumped fast. I don't think I've seen anything quite like this before. Right. Now, how long have you lived in the Springs, actually?
I've been here for 25 years now.
Is this like the most snow that you've seen in this amount of time?
We get spring snows where we get dumped on like this. So this isn't uncommon. It's okay. Yeah.
It looks like a lot to me.
It'll be gone in a couple of days.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. It was kind of a wet snow, so it's kind of heavy. Uh-huh. So I wondered about how quick that would go. Well, that's interesting. I know that the pass also up through I-70 going through Eisenhower Tunnel was closed then as well. So I guess you got to wear chains. You know,
yeah,
to get up
that there. Happens. That happens often. That's when they close the ski resorts, always a surprise. They had to do that this week. Yeah,
sure it does. I mentioned, first of all, about Inspector Magic, and that really fascinates me. I know there are several magicians, let's say like Silly Billy, who has a character in which he kind of dresses a little bit, you know, with the big glasses and a bowler hat and the suspenders. And some guys who go in as children's show magicians will just go in with maybe a coat and tie or maybe with a funny shirt or something. How did you go about developing that character?
Sure. Well, that was back 35 years ago, when Inspector Gadget was a popular cartoon. I always loved Don Adams from Get Smart, and he voiced the character. And I was first getting into magic. I was I'm a structural engineer by trade, and place that we lived in at the time, I was involved with our volunteer fire department. And I had worked up the ranks, taken a lot of training, moved to a new area and out on Cape Cod. And they didn't have volunteer fire and they didn't have need of my expertise. So okay. I was like, okay, I need to come up with a new avocation. And that's when magic started. And
so you kind of got into magic late in life, basically.
Exactly. In my very late 20s.
You were inspired by?
And Copperfield, watching Copperfield specials when I was in college, I was always amazed at that. And I combined my knowledge as a firefighter and safety and magic and realized I can combine the two. I can use my uniform as a fireman. We would dress out in our blues and with a badge and everything. So sure. I looked like an officer or some sort of official and perform magic, but include safety messages about fire safety.
Sure.
So, it's just kind of stuck. And I still, that's my favorite type of programs to do is educational school programs, but haven't really done that safety program. We did a program about bicycle safety and wearing helmets because 30 years ago, you know, now everyone wears a helmet.
Correct.
30 years ago, they
didn't. No.
They didn't.
Right.
And so there needed to be a transition where people got to realize I really should wear a helmet to protect my head. And so anyway, we came up with a Forgetful Freddy routine that had to do with wearing a bicycle helmet.
Did you do that also in libraries as well as schools, I guess?
Yes, libraries. Actually, that was my very first public show was in a library. My, I had contacts with all the library systems on Cape Cod. There's quite a few of them, and they'd hire me for a couple times a year, and so it was like once a month I was doing a library program.
Cape Cod had to be a beautiful place. I mean, I've been out there a time or two, and as I recall, there's like just one bridge in and out of the place, right?
Yeah. Well, there's but that's as a performer, you're constrained because you can't. Yeah. You're on this spit of land that goes out, and you can't go north, you can't go south. All you can go is east and west.
And
every village has a summer or fall or spring festival of some sort.
Oh, well, sure they do.
And they're looking for entertainment. So that was another thing that...
Were you like the guy, or is there another magician working out there back then?
I was probably, for those types of venues, I was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
There was another group, let's see, Rich and Paul Earl and Cosmos, the Conjurer, who started up a magic club. And
On Cape Cod. Wow.
And
sort of like
they
three of
contacted
you?
Me right when they were starting it.
Yeah.
And said, would you be interested in being part of this? Huh. And it was IBM Ring 307. It's not in function anymore, but I was the president of it for many years. And it was my first taste of seeing someone else who's a magician.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my goodness, they were able to guide me and say, oh, here, this is the book you need to read,
mm-hmm.
by David Ginn, who I would not have stumbled across without that group. And we critiqued each other. It was an amazing learning experience for me as a new acolyte to magic, and why I'm still involved, wanting to give back to others. And I still learn at our local club here in Colorado Springs that the different things just by watching everyone.
So that was your first introduction really to a national organization with the International Brotherhood of Magicians at that time. And so, again, I can't imagine there would have been necessarily a lot of magicians. How many were in the club back then?
We had a group of about 12.
That's a pretty good sized group, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They came from Southeast Massachusetts too, and
oh, so
and
wasn't all just Cape Cod.
So
Gotcha.
And there were people who live in Southeast Massachusetts, but they have a vacation home on Cape Cod. So,
I see.
Yeah, they were all pretty much local.
Well, then you probably learned about some other types of magic since you were just doing like some magic for children and families, and then started realizing, oh, there's all this other kinds of opportunities. I mean,
yes.
As far as restaurants or doing close-up or corporate shows and et cetera.
John Coulter, he's the gentleman, Cosmos the Conjurer. He came up with a annual show that he would do out in Chatham, and Magic by the Sea was the name of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, he would, every year would be different.
Like a stage show?
Stage show.
Wow.
Illusions.
Mm-hmm.
And he had me, different people from the club would help backstage. I was working the curtains and bringing on props. And it really was a family. It is family. Yeah,
right.
I still am in contact with those.
I was about to say, even though that you've been gone for two decades or more, that you still keep in contact with those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that
is an important aspect that people often don't think about, and that is the camaraderie you have with friends that almost become like your magic family, who are your club members, even though you might not see them but once or twice a month if you have a lecture or something going on. But the closest, because I think you're sharing secrets. It's like a band of brothers and sisters, you know?
You're absolutely right. And that really is, when people say, oh, what does a magic club have for me? And it's like, well, you haven't been involved with it, or you haven't, you need to be involved with it, because the friendships that you make on that local scale, and here in Colorado Springs, I've got friendships I've gotten here that are very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And my involvement in the national level, I have got friends all over the United States, out of the country. I was talking to you, you know, during Christmas time, I portray Santa Claus, and I have been hired to go to Hong Kong for over a week, 10 days, portraying Santa Claus because of my involvement with the Society of American Magicians.
Hmm.
And friend of a friend that was looking for the right person. And so your membership can take you places.
It really can.
And speaking about the friendships, I know firsthand, 8 years ago, a number of years ago, We lost my son in a car accident. He was 36 at the time. And if you've lost a child, it's very difficult, especially around holidays. It's just not something that you ever get over.
Right.
And I remember at our memorial for him, we had magicians from Colorado show up. And I'm just amazed that those people came out and were there to support us. And
had to be very difficult, first of all, but then you have that kind of, again, familial support group who are there, not just out of respect, but out of love as well.
Exactly. There's a couple members who have also gone through that, Gene and Clem Kennicott. Clem, rest in peace. But they lost a son also, and they're from Albany, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, and still do, at certain times of the year, reach out to us and let us know that they're thinking about us. So
that's nice.
It really is a family. Magicians are amazing.
Yeah, a great, great support group. Well, going back to your Inspector Magic then again, there are some people perhaps overseas who might be listening to this, and I don't know whether the Inspector Gadget is an international cartoon, but can you explain a little bit about who that is?
Sure. So he's a bumbling spy, just like Maxwell Smart from Get Smart,
mm-hmm.
or from
Pink Panther.
Pink Panther. Yeah. So that was my idea. Okay. And that's my character. I'm a bumbling magician. Things happen around me that I don't see, that the families and the kids and the audience, they see them happening. And that's, you know, the look don't see is, I just love to play with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know I've achieved what I'm looking for when the kids in the audience are face palming their head because they're so frustrated with me. That's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have different acts? Again, like I referred to Silly Billy or David Kaye earlier, where he would have a different act or a show for, let's say, kids who are 5 to 8, as opposed to those who are like 10 to 12?
Yeah. Silly Billy, speaking of Silly Billy, he has a wonderful lecture talking about the different ages and how you need to present that. And so I've really taken that to heart. Preschoolers, they love the silliness.
Mm-hmm.
Elementary
and fart jokes and things. Yeah.
Yeah. And elementary school, you know, they like to see the magic. And then you get to the older kids and they're like, you know,
too cool for school.
They want to challenge you. So instead of challenging them, I like to bring them in and I'll perhaps explain how something works and hopefully, of course, there's a zinger at the end that you really didn't explain it the way that they thought, but
like a sucker trick. Yeah.
But and a little more elegant magic too for the older kids too. So
So I would think that you would have to change that up a little bit, you know, for the different ages then as well. Now, do you do it because you have a full-time job as a structural engineer? Are you performing only in the springs, or do you go up to Denver or travel around the state or country?
I'm very fortunate that in my career, I have the ability to take off for an afternoon and make up that time. So my Denver is probably where my biggest market is.
Oh, it is. Okay.
For work.
And that's about 75 miles from here north?
Yeah, yeah. But we go out to the mountains often, to the different ski resorts and places there.
For families who invite you to come out, you mean? Or
yeah,
what?
Yeah. There's a couple different places. There's like a YMCA camp that would have me almost every other weekend during the summertime. And they put you up and really take care of you. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And of course, summertime, all the library systems are reaching out looking for entertainers. So forever.
Yeah, yeah, and forever we perform. I don't think at the get-go I had mentioned about your Santa Claus gig, but I certainly meant to, because that is a major part of what you do then as well, and been doing that for how many years now?
I again, because of the Society of American Magicians.
Yeah.
It's a long story. I won't tell you the long story, but I was growing, growing my beard out a little bit.
Okay.
There was a reason, but, and I was getting ready to shave it off, and Dal Sanders, who's the co-chair of our convention that we're having in Dallas, mentioned me, said, "Boy, you'd make a really good Santa Claus." And I thought about that. My father was a Santa Claus.
Oh, was he?
Just for friends.
Okay.
But it was a German. He had, I think his father, my grandfather, was also.
I guess
also,
it is a German name, Whitehouse.
It was, yes.
Yeah.
And so my father as a child was always looking forward to seeing Santa arrive at his home. Sure. And we as kids would be looking forward to seeing Santa also. And when I got to be older, I realized that my father was also going to, he was a professor at Penn State University, and he was going to other staff who had families on Christmas Eve and visiting with them with a surprise. And so when I was a teenager, I would drive him around and help and support him.
And, you were like his elf.
Yeah, yeah. And boy, when I was in my early 20s and we had our kids were young, I think I did one or two
appearances,
yes, but not a lot. But then when Dal brought it up, mm-hmm. This was like 2017, and I thought, yeah, okay, maybe I should try that. And just everything fell in place. My daughter's roommate is a photographer, and she contacted me that said, "Oh, I've been hired to do this photo session at this location. Can you be the Santa Claus there?" Hmm. And she took amazing photographs. And because of those amazing photographs, I was able to use them to sell for other things. And the thing about being Santa Claus is you're hired 1 year. They'll hire you come January. They're already talking about booking you for next year.
That's true.
So you have, you know, your schedule fills up so quickly.
Yes.
But it's fantastic. And that feeling of joy when the little 4-year-old comes running up and gives you a big hug around your legs, you know, there's nothing like it.
Now, what about your outfit? When you had first developed that, did you have that custom made? Did you buy one when Dal said, "Hey, you'd be a good Santa"? I mean,
right.
You thought, I don't have a Santa Claus outfit. What do I do?
Yeah, I did some research. I think there's a place in Hollywood, Adele's, that sells Santa Claus outfits. And I got something. Here in Colorado Springs, we had a magic shop and costume called Zizo's. Zizo's Magic Castle was the last one here. Mark Modere was the owner of that.
Who was that bald guy who used to run the place up in Denver? I think he owned it.
There have been he's still around. I see him at conventions, and his name will pop into my head here just a minute. But yeah, he still goes by Zizo.
I was talking to Steve Aldrich for one of the podcasts some time ago, and Zizo's had come up.
Yeah.
We were talking about that great shop.
Yeah. So, I got what I could afford, mm-hmm. but it was $70 and I still have it.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
And that's what they call the classic Coca-Cola Santa?
No. I wanted a different look. I wanted a European. It's a Father Christmas type, where it's more of a,
with a duster, like a jacket.
Length. It doesn't have a jacket. It's just a pullover, but it has like a skirt to it at the base. But anyway, it worked out great. But I took the money that I made that year and I invested it. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I should mention this. I'm in the process of writing, I think it's going to be a series of articles for the MUM, the SAM.
You told me about that. I'm supposed to contribute to that.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes. The SAM's magazine. about portraying Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. And I want to share what I've learned. But the thing is,
there are
is,
a lot of people who are interested, I think, in that, yep, that haven't done it, who would really be good at it.
And it's, and yeah, if you're,
because if you're a magician, if you're already
you
like entertained.
Kids, that's
like kids.
The main thing.
Exactly.
If you like kids,
exactly.
It is
and so rewarding.
It really is rewarding, and it's lucrative. It's quite lucrative. And I am a strong believer of getting paid for what you
for your work.
For your work. A lot of people. There's a lot of Santas that are out there who are just doing it for the
money,
kindness. For the kindness.
Oh, you know, for free.
For free, and that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Like they go to hospitals or whatever. You mean, kind of
that's or wherever, you know. Yeah. But
you should get paid for it.
I want to.
It's a lot like magicians also. A lot of, because magicians, particularly when they get started, it's like, I just want to work anywhere. I don't care whether I'm getting paid or not. And they start off cheap, and they may even go cheaper yet, because like, I just want to work, and they'll work for free. And somebody says, hey, we've got this charity thing. Would you, donate your time? Yes, they jump at those chances. But I agree, you should be getting paid. Same thing, not just with magicians, but for Santas.
I had a request for a magic show through one of the online booking agencies, and it's about a 2.5 hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, fortunately, they have a space there where they say what their budget is. Mm-hmm. And their budget was $20 to $80. So
per minute, hopefully.
No, it's for 3 hours.
Yeah, holy moly. Thank you very much. Wow.
Yeah, I'm glad they did that, because I did have to waste my time. I said, yep, not interested.
Yeah.
So
wow.
But somebody probably was,
They're thinking, well, that'll cover part of my gas cost getting down there or something. But I am agreeing with you in very strongly that, that we should be getting paid for the work you're doing and what you're putting into it. And that's whether you're a magician or Santa or whatever. But again, this is a very lucrative opportunity for people who are of a certain age. And not necessarily, I guess you don't have to be old and have white hair, because you can dress up and
That's right. Yeah. I know there's some teenagers. Because of COVID, we all learned how to work Zoom and everything like that. But I got involved with a couple companies who were, creative enough to come up with, a way to still visit Santa, and be safe. And that was through Zoom visits. And, they've done it every year since. And,
oh, really?
And it's just wonderful, because you're doing it from your own home.
Sure.
You're not having to travel. And I, this past year, I was meeting with families that were in Japan, China, all over the U.S. Again, it's a 7 minute, time that you get able to chat with them, but they remember you, and they, like I mentioned before, they're like, that was a great Santa. The parents are thinking that was,
sure.
Of course, the kids say, you know, that was Santa.
It was, right.
In fact, I had one, young girl, cause they'll give me notes. They'll say, her teacher's name is so and so, and she's been, doing very well in math this year. So I can bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
And one time, one of the little girls says, how did you know that? And her older brother, he must have been 9 or 10. He just nonchalantly says, because he's Santa, silly.
Of course. This is a logical explanation.
Yeah.
Zoom did a similar kind of a thing, and thinking also that was going to perpetuate itself. I thought it wasn't just going to be a one-time thing. So I bought a background, looked like Santa's Village, you know, kind of a thing that I could use. And I had some screen overlays, et cetera, et cetera. And similarly, it was a company that had like 10-minute intervals. So every 15 minutes, I had a different child that would come in. And beforehand, they would send me a whole sheet of things with specific answers, just like you said, you know, the teacher's name, their pet's name, their sister or brother's names, you know, different kinds of things that Santa should know. And then I did a couple of tricks also. There was a great trick that David Heyer had come up with some time ago, where you have a picture of Rudolph that is like from a coloring book. So it's just a drawing of him. And you would use a Delight underneath there on your thumb. So when you hold the piece of paper, you push it underneath where the nose is. So it looks like that the nose is, you know, getting red. So I would hold that up to the camera so it'd be full screen. And then I'd say, you know, say Rudolph's name. When they do, his nose would light up. But then when I'd move the piece of paper away, I had a red nose.
You had a SpongeBob nose. Yes, perfect.
So, I forgot. So anyhow, there are so many things, you're right, that you could do with Santa and different places and not just in shopping malls, although that's a great outlet as well. But there are a lot of private parties and things that you can do. And as you said, it is quite lucrative. And there is a place then online, I don't remember the name of the website, where I had purchased boots and some other kinds of paraphernalia to be Santa. We're going to take a momentary break here to have a word from our sponsor, the Wonder Bash. We are getting very close to the Wonder Bash convention, which is going to be April the 18th through the 20th in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And we have talked about this a little bit in the past, and you can also go to the magicwordspodcast.com website, where on the convention page there you will see a link that you can go to directly to their website, but you can also then listen to a much longer recording in which we go into more detail with my guest here right now, who is one of the organizers, Trino. Hey, man.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Good to have you here today.
One of the things
that I would like to discuss that is going to be coming up is that with the convention, of course, it's going to be in Grand Rapids, but you have the competition, which is going to be a little bit different than what other conventions are. Can you tell me a bit about what details you can share now?
That's right. Yeah, we're going to have a competition Thursday night of the convention. That's April 18th. And I don't have a ton, all the details yet, but it is going to be a walk around competition completely judged by lay people. So once we have all the details for that, and if people are interested in applying to compete, that will all be posted at the website More Than Tricks as well.
And also, you're going to be having an auction.
We are. We're going to do an auction after the competition that night. And I tell people can bring whatever they want, but I say bring some good stuff. You know, we don't need that stack of 1975 Lincoln rings in your basement. They're all water stained anyway. Nobody wants that. Bring some good stuff, and hopefully it can be mutually beneficial. Put some money in your pocket and get somebody a piece that they can perform or treasure.
And if you don't sell that at the auction, there you can also then sell that at the dealer's room, because as I understand it, you're not going to be having a dealer's room per se. You're going to be having anybody who wants to bring in their own stuff, they could set up their own table.
That's right. I never understood a dealer's room that's open for 8 hours a day and you got to make everybody go stand in there the whole time. I figured if you want to sell stuff, that's all you. It's like a magic bazaar almost. If you have gently used things or your own product you've put out, you can just bring that to the convention. You can sell it to other attendees.
And no charge. Oh, 10% seller fee.
10% in the auction. That's right. But anything else, just bring it and sell it.
Oh, okay. That sounds great then too. And the location is going to be then at the Residence Inn there. And it is close to a lot of other dining places nearby within walking distance of the hotel.
Yeah, restaurants, breweries, bars, museums, everything's right there within walking distance of the hotel. You also have a kitchenette in your room. So a refrigerator. I believe there's a stovetop as well. You got a microwave. So you can get food and you have a place to put it, and you can reheat it later and eat it after.
That is a rare opportunity at Magic Conventions where you actually get to have a refrigerator without having to request one for your room. It's already part of where you're going to be there at the Residence Inn. And then also, if you're sharing a room with someone else, that you can fix your food right there. You don't even need to really get out. So it sounds like just a great opportunity. Well, Grand Rapids probably has, it does have a lot to offer, because we had the IBM convention there some years ago, and I have been to Grand Rapids a few times, and it always impresses me as a beautiful city.
Absolutely. There's so much right there within walking distance. And the theater, Wealthy Theater, where the shows are, is less than 2 miles from the hotel right there. And there's a lot right in between there, different restaurants and things to check out as well. We also have $5 a day parking at the hotel, which is unheard of. So $5 a day, unlimited in and out, you're right there.
And you mentioned about the theater where they're going to be having evening shows then as well. Will they be bused, or are people going to be on their own to get to the theater?
We're working on that right now. I'm hoping to have a transportation solution just to make it very easy for everybody. If you want to be able to just ride over with everyone and ride back after.
Yeah.
Just so you can leave your car parked the whole time.
Sounds like a fun time. And one last thing, then, and that has to do with, I know it's $250 for the registration, but if you are a youth, tell me about the scholarship program.
Yeah, if you're between ages 12 to 20 years old, you can apply to attend Wonder Bash for free. That'll get you a free $250 registration that also includes the official Wonder Bash book with writings, tricks, and essays from the performers as well as other people. And you can get that completely free. Just reach out to us through the Wonder Bash website, and we'll get that application over. It's a very short essay and a video of you performing, and maybe you'll get a free registration to come check this out. We also have a rate for spouse and parents as well, which is only $150.
Oh, that's a great deal, because they'd have to come with a parent or guardian. So yeah, it's only $150. Yeah,
that's right.
And the book itself, I don't want to overlook that. That is something that's very important that is not offered by any other convention. But tell me just something briefly about that.
So rather than a show program, we do have a book that we put out every year. And this has different writings, essays, or tricks from the performers that will be attending and performing and lecturing at Wonder Bash, as well as a couple other names in magic that you might have heard of. So it's a really nice keepsake to remember attending the convention, but it's also a great resource to look back and get some advice.
That sounds great. Well, I hope you have a great turnout here this year. And the website where people can go is called morethantricks.com. Is that correct?
Morethantricks.com. That's right. Wonder Bash, April 18 through 20 in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
You've just said it all. Thanks very much, Trino. See you there.
Thanks, Scott.
And now back to our conversation with Santa Claus. I mean, Mark Whitehouse.
You know, just like magicians, there are Santa clubs and conventions.
I was about to say that very thing.
And so, yeah.
Have you gotten involved with any of that?
I haven't. Maybe. Well, I haven't gone to an action. There's one here in Denver.
Oh.
But I haven't been able to get involved in that. But through the Facebook groups and things like that,
yeah.
I've been able to.
Because you have to be able to respond extemporaneously and with great knowledge, supposedly, not only the names of the reindeer, but all kinds of things about when they ask you unusual questions like,
right.
How much do you pay the elves or whatever.
Some people avoid that. I enjoy it.
I do too.
I want the challenge, and it is. It's a lot of thinking. And you have to have a little bit of a backstory of what your
absolutely
what your version of the North Pole is.
Exactly.
And it might be different from someone else, but,
so what's been a good story that you've had where some kid has asked you something that you had to spin a good one?
Let's see. This past year, when you ask the children what they want for Christmas, usually, you want to be up to date with what's the latest.
Well, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
you got to know the toys.
The
cartoons.
The boy said, or no, it was a girl. She said she wanted a Stanley Cup.
A
Stanley Cup. Okay. Why do you want, you're into hockey. I understand that.
Yeah.
But okay. What are you going to do with a Stanley Cup? Are you going to like drink? Oh no, I just
have cereal out of it.
And then I realized the Stanley Cup she's talking about it's a new type of thermos. Called
really?
A stand, yes, and so
that's
anyway,
funny.
So I was able to tie that in. I said, "Wouldn't you have been surprised if on Christmas morning you went down and looking for your Stanley Cup thermos, and instead there's this big
trophy
as tall as you are sitting underneath the Christmas tree?" Anyway, so. There's a little bit of Santa can mishear some things too.
Well, that's
just
true too.
Just like the Amazon Spectre Magic.
I have had several kids who have said they want to have a pet, like a dog or a cat. And a couple have said they wanted a pony. And say, well, we'll see what we can do, but there was one child who was saying to me they wanted a pony, and the mother was nodding like, yeah, we're going to get him a pony. So it's like, well, you'd be good. We'll see about getting you that. There's a very good possibility I might be able to bring one, on the sleigh and have room. Oh, I hope so. And the mom was going, yeah. She was encouraging me. It's like, okay, I guess you got a place for it. So whatever, that's fine. Then I had this other little girl once, and I asked, who was your favorite of the reindeer? And she said, I like Vixen. And I said, why? And she said, because she's the only female reindeer you have. No, I don't. Santa's an equal opportunity employer. I got half and half just because their names,
That's interesting because from some of the information I've gotten from other Santas, they have a list of stories that they tell about each of the reindeer, how they got their names. And that was one of the stories, is that Vixen is the only female reindeer.
Oh, really?
And I've also, being an equal opportunity Santa, I've switched that up. So there's several others that are. And technically, since they have antlers, and I've had some children that quiz me on this too, because they have antlers during the wintertime, they are all female, that the male reindeers actually shed their antlers in the winter.
But the female don't.
But the female don't.
That's a good answer for that too. What I have then started saying, so, well, I don't have Dancer and Prancer and Comet and Vixen anymore, that I moved on. I've got Lakeisha and Leroy and Ahmed and Christian. You know, I've got different because, you know, I put the rest of them out and we have reindeer games. They get to play with each other and everything, but we have new ones that we're always practicing the reindeer races, because who can fly the fastest and throughout the year to keep them exercised. So it is a lot of fun, and it's challenging. And also I like the challenge of the kids asking those kinds of questions. Same thing like doing impromptu magic, in which you're doing what I'd call jazz magic, that, you know, you're doing something for a group of people and you're going in the direction that they like something. If they like card tricks, fine, or coins, you kind of go in a direction that they want to go and just kind of make it important to them, I guess. And same thing, that experience with Santa should be important. I assume also you, like me, have some kids that just run in terror.
Oh, yes. And I was one of those kids myself.
Were you when you were a kid?
I really was, yes. I was so like, you can... and I've had time when I sit in the chair and just gets quiet. I've had time to reflect on why it was like that. And I was like, just give me the candy cane, you know? And I think there was the fear was, if Santa were to ask me what I wanted for Christmas and I forgot something, oh no, I forgot to tell Santa. And so that was the fear. But yeah. And if, for our photo shoots, I've worked with several different photographers on photo shoots. And if I can have, 4 or 5 minutes before they start taking pictures, I usually can get those children who are hiding behind the mother's legs to warm up to me and come up and sit and read a book with me or something. And that's, you know.
Another thing that we have to watch out for, and then I'm going to move on to a different subject, and that is, of course, with having children sitting on your lap and putting your hand on them. I have learned from Ronald McDonald to make sure that your hands are always in sight. So when they take the photo, that they don't say, hey, that he was fondling my kid or something, because I don't see his other hand. So I make sure that I got my gloves up all the time so people can see.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that's the way we are today.
Yep. Unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's, again, circling back to the Society of American Magicians, we had an incident with, we had an incident.
A member.
And because of that, which could have been a negative thing, we've really turned it into a positive, that we now offer training for youth protection.
Oh.
And in fact, we're going to do that at the convention in Dallas.
Good idea.
And so it's a set amount of pieces of information that you end up learning. And it
just like
an hour.
Scout leaders sometimes.
Just like scout leaders. And after you've completed the course, you get a certificate, and you know, it's something that we're trying to do to make people aware of what, because if you know, a person wouldn't know about the hands if they hadn't talked to you, for example.
Right.
We talked
talking about current things that are happening and clubs also. I want to kind of change directions a little bit, and that is about some discussion that there's been of late having to do with the exposure of magic. And
sure.
And I want to know, is that something, again, being a past national president, is that something that the national organization looks at, or do you think that's a club level thing that they should kind of govern their own people?
Well, first, it's so frustrating when you see that, because you know, as you start talking about it, you're making more people aware of it, and you're actually you're driving people to these sites or whatever, and and seeing this, and they're getting the clicks and everything because of us.
Right.
The second thing is, as a national organization, we don't have policing. We shouldn't be the police.
No.
We do have ethics that we all abide by and we swear to when we join. If someone's doing this and they're not a member, there really isn't anything we can do. But a lot of people I've heard have been saying, why aren't the national organizations doing something about this? And the national organizations, to be honest, they are losing members.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not, it's because of the changing times, because of the internet, whatever. But if you're not a member of one of the national organizations, when I got involved, I had a good friend on Cape Cod say, if you're serious about magic, you should belong to all of the national clubs, which I've taken them up on that. But anyway, get your membership up to date with these national organizations. Drive their membership up instead of going down.
Right.
And then they will have the clout to be able to say, hey, what you're doing is not right. When you and I were in Blackpool last month, there was a problem that I overheard of one of the dealers was selling a knockoff.
Okay.
And that's something that we have to deal with here with the SAM when we have our conventions too.
Right.
And there used to be a dealer's organization. That
MDA.
Yeah.
And Magic Dealers Association.
They aren't anymore because they, I think they realize that, again,
they can't be the police.
They can't be the police. But at the conventions, we can be. We can say, hey, that is a knockoff. The
sponsoring organization can say, yeah.
Right. And that was one of the rules.
Out.
That when you signed up, that was one of the rules that you signed that you weren't going to do this. You've either got to, you know, take that off your display or you need to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, in Blackpool, my understanding was the person that was offending the next day, his table was empty and he wasn't there anymore.
He was gone. Okay.
So, that's a wonderful thing. Here's another thing though, that your membership in an organization is helping to do. And it's because of that membership that again gives that clout. So if you're not a member of a national organization, you really are kind of contributing to letting this go rampant.
That's a very good point. I hadn't thought about that you actually need to be part of an organization that does do something about it, as opposed to just being on the sidelines and yelling at it and saying, you know, like a get off my lawn, you know, kind of an old guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, that you need to be with an organization who has the clout. And so what do you do? I mean, with the Ethics and Grievance Committee, I assume that you do take action at some point.
Yeah, if it's a member, and there's any other member can raise up a concern.
Okay,
it goes to the Ethics Committee.
So it has to start with someone making a complaint.
Got to make a complaint, and I know
filing it.
Yeah,
properly.
And if you don't do it, there's no complaint. There's nothing we can do.
They can be aware of it.
Once they do it, then the committee keeps it very private because this is a private situation. And they do some exploration of the incident or the
severity
claim,
of it.
And then they can present it back to the national organization whether there should be action taken.
Has there been anybody in recent history or that comes to mind to you? I mean, without naming names, but has there been people who have been removed from the list who have?
Yeah.
Okay. Within the last few years, even?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's an ongoing thing. So it's okay. That's what I was wondering, because people have asked me about that.
We have, we normally, the national officers or the National Council of the Society of American Magicians meets twice a year, once at our convention and then another mid-year meeting. And we have the ability to have a special meeting. And we've had a couple special meetings in the last couple of years. So just to go over things like that.
And talk about those very kinds of things. Well, that's heartening to know that something is being done, because, again, people often will ask, you know, what do we do and how do we go about doing that? Well, number one, join an organization. Number two, help file a complaint to the to your ethics committee.
That's right.
And it can be handled from there.
Yeah, that's right. Switching with a little bit of a left
back
turn.
Back over to conventions?
Left turn, back to the conventions.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Your comment about being on the sidelines and complaining.
Mm-hmm.
My first national convention was in 2003 in Las Vegas, and I haven't missed a national SAM convention since. I just love it. But that first one, well, there were some problems.
Okay.
And I didn't know it at the time, but apparently the hotel, I think it was the Riviera, said that their ballroom for their evening theater shows seats, I don't know, 1,200 people.
Mm-hmm.
But when they got there the day of the convention, they only had 800 seats.
Oops. It's a big oops.
Anyway, I took my family. So I had my younger son and daughter with me and my wife. And because of this situation, we weren't sitting together. They had us kind of in booths and things like that. I was kind of sitting backwards. Anyway, there were a lot of problems. And I was so frustrated with it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when I realized I could sit there and complain about it. Or I've been to a lot of local conventions too. Being on Cape Cod, I went to all the Cape Cod conclaves.
Oh yeah, Hank Lee things.
Yeah, here in Colorado, we had Magic in the Rockies. So I've been to a lot of conventions, and I've seen a lot of things that have gone wrong. And I was like, boy, if I was in charge, I would do it this way.
Yeah.
And I realized, you know, instead of complaining about it, let me get involved and see what I can do.
Right.
And
instead of, again, yelling from the sidelines, actually get in there, get in the game.
So 2008, Brad Jacobs asked me to help him. He was one of the chairmen of the combined IBM SAM convention in Louisville. And I supported him. And my wife showed up, helped out at registration. We became the registrars for the SAM the next year. And then I became chairman in 2014 at the combined convention in St. Louis. And I've taken a lot of what I saw of, if I was in charge, I would do such and such.
Good, bad,
and I've been able to apply that, which I'm proud of. But there are gremlins out there. They want certain things to just not work out. And so there are times when I'm like, afterwards thinking, it could have been so much better. We really have turned the conventions around. Mike Miller has just, he's a person booking our acts, and he just comes up with the best talent. These are all people that, it's amazing. He'll book them, and it's like the next year they're winning FISM.
Right, we couldn't afford them the next year.
exactly. But nobody knew about them the year before.
Right.
But Mike,
Mike did. Yeah.
And we got to see them at the SAM. So
that's the reason, in part, that he's going to be getting the special fellowship, I believe, for the.
Oh yeah,
that's
yeah,
right. At the Magic Castle.
Thanks to
Well,
Hank Morehouse and.
I want to go back, actually, prior to that, talking about the conventions and the importance of attending conventions, because before we got started, you had told me that you actually missed going to a first convention that when you lived in Cape Cod, because you were afraid. Now, tell me this story.
Yeah, so
interesting.
So I was living on Cape Cod. You know, I had my friends there in the Magic Club, the 12 people, but that's all I knew. And I was always in awe of these other performers that I would read
so
about.
Much higher than...
I got Genie Magazine and MUM and the Linking Ring, and I would devour them as soon as they would show up. And I would, this is great. and here's an opportunity for me to meet the people who are writing these articles and everything. And the SAM came to Boston. You'll have to look it up what year that was, 1990 something. And it was within driving distance, but I didn't go because I was like, I'm not going to know anybody. And I kicked myself.
You feel awkward?
I kicked myself for that. And anybody listening to this, please, when I was president in 2010, that I would sign off my letters with this catchphrase of, you have a friend in the SAM. And, it's one of the things that I really want to get across is, if you think you're not going to know anybody when you show up, by the end of the convention, you're going to have friends.
That's right. And when you go back in next year, they will be there.
And they'll be there again. Yes. And you'll be going out to lunch and breakfast. And encourage the friends that you have. I should have encouraged the 12, some of the 12 people that I knew on Cape Cod. Hey, come with me. Let's share a ride and we'll go up to the convention together. It's so much more fun to have to go to sure. things like that when you've got other people that you can, sit with during the shows. I met you in, I don't know.
Well, I remember you walking up to me at a TAOM convention and surprising the heck out of me whenever you said, I've got a presidential citation for you for the Magic Word podcast. And I said, what? And you were saying, well, I wanted to actually give this to you in a better area, and make it a formal production, at a show or something, but you said that and we were in the foyer.
The TAOM people wouldn't let me do it. So that would have been 2010. So we've known each other for 14 years. And last month we were sharing a hotel room in Blackpool. It's crazy, but that's the friendships that you make getting involved with these organizations. Well, and
I almost got to go to Hong Kong with you.
that maybe still, next time we're still talking about that for next time. So, it really is.
So you should join the conventions. And even though you might not think you know anybody, you will meet people because you have a like interest of magic. And so you will make friends immediately because you'll be sitting next to somebody and they'll say, hey, what did he do? Or, go over that again, or let's, work and it out. And all the sessions that go on.
Each of our educational lectures and sessions, you're going to see there's you're going to have a variety of things. You're going to have, mind reading versus daycares or something. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see, hey, I saw that person at that other one too. And so you realize, hey, there's a kindred spirit over there that's got the same.
Speaking of conventions and kind of wrapping this up then with the ending on the convention was about Magic Texas, which is going to be coming up that you and Dal Sanders are co-chairman for. Do you want to tell a bit about what's happening with that and how excited that you are?
I really am excited. This is going to be so fun. We don't do combined conventions very often.
Right.
The IBM and the SAM have done a number of them over the past couple of years. But this is the first time that the SAM is teaming up with another organization, Texas Association of Magicians, and a big organization in Texas. Texas is a big state. And we just feel that the two working together can make something better. And that's what we're seeing this convention. This is going to be just an amazing convention. So much is going on with Lance Burton to start us off. I'm so excited about that. And all the parties, I guess I can't spill the beans on some of these things. But anyway, we've got parties. We have
a brand new hotel.
It's just opened last month.
Across the street from the Rangers Stadium, as well as what's that called? Texas something that is where they have the big screen TV and the different restaurants.
Texas Live. Yes. Yeah. So there's lots of restaurants there. That's where a lot of people would be hanging out.
And for people who want to bring their families, and I highly recommend that bringing your families because Six Flags is offering us 75% discount or something?
Yeah. It's in free parking and it's normally 100 plus, and this is about 30. And change. So, it's got Six Flags is the amusement park, and then it's also their water park too.
Oh, that's true.
And so,
lots of things.
There's 2 days worth of events that your family can be taken, be entertained while you're being entertained at the convention.
Right. Or if you want to be with them, come early, stay late, whatever. You know, it's going to be a unique area right there in Arlington, Texas. Actually, we said Dallas, but it's close to DFW Airport, Dallas Fort Worth Airport, which is a major hub. So that's an international airport to people who are coming in from overseas. In fact, then, as you know, Mark, when we were over in Blackwell, there were people who were talking with us who were saying, hey, I've been listening to the podcast about you guys talking about Magic Texas, and I'm looking forward to coming over to Dallas from Germany or wherever he was from,
yep.
You know.
Yep.
So,
and we encourage, oh, that'll be amazing. Because, you know, when I go to Blackpool, I always think it's funny that a lot of the entertainers that they'll have are Americans. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I saw him 6 months ago.
I just went to Matt King's show. Yeah, yeah. Vegas recently, but here he is now.
But you're also able to see a lot of the Europeans that you,
oh my gosh,
we don't normally see.
Correct. Yeah.
So that is one
and
of the.
Similarly here with Magic Texas, because we are aligned with FISM, and it is the North American Championships of Magic. So there, the road to FISM and Tour in Italy next year is through Arlington. If you're going to be competing, you need to get your act together quite literally, and send a video. Who's handling that?
Joan. That'll be Joan.
Caesar.
Okay. Will be doing that.
So she'll be the one who will be looking at the videos and trying to slot you in and everything.
Yep.
So,
I've been going around to the clubs and encouraging, you know, if you're, maybe you don't have an act, but you know somebody in your club that does. You know,
that's a very good point.
Encourage them.
Yes.
They could go to Italy next year and compete and you know, what a something to add on your resume to say that you were a FISM.
If you got questions about that or want to compete or want to contact Joan, the email address is b@magictexas.com. That's b@magictexas.com. So you can send an email over there to them. I know this sounds like an advertisement.
And of course, magictexas.com is our website. And it's got all sorts. We have a lot of information on the schedule already up and registration.
I know some people have contacted me also saying, how do I get to be on the bill? I'm interested in actually performing. Well, they're kind of already full. Mike Miller, again, has done a stellar, outstanding job, as usual, of securing some talent already, many of which are already FISM winners from the past or FISM performers and participants or whatever. So they pretty much got a full bill of people that you will probably, I say you being the listener, haven't seen before because they don't come to the United States very often, like Norbert Ferrer, for an example. I believe he's French, I believe.
Right. And he has a big act. I mean, it's cases that he's having to have shipped.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So anyhow, a lot of people are coming. It's going to be great, and it's going to be just a lot of fun. Well, Mark, this has been great. Thanks very much. I appreciate your time. The name of my podcast is called The Magic Word, and so I always like to close by asking, what is it your philosophy of life?
What's my philosophy of life?
What's your phrase?
Life is magic.
Life
is magic, so live life, live magic.
Live life, live magic, and that's what we should all do. Thank you very much. A lot of fun there, Santa Claus. Fellow. As we ho-ho on our way out of here. Thank you very much. That was Mark Whitehouse. This is Scotty out. Thank you, Mark, for being my guest this week. I enjoyed the chat with a fellow Santa Claus. It was a lot of fun, particularly I kind of felt like it was Christmas up there with all the snow we had. It was quite fun. And I hope that you listeners got something out of that and perhaps might consider that as a entertainment avenue that you might want to go down if you so choose. Well, let me also say there is also an opportunity for Mrs. Claus to as well, or if you're younger, perhaps to be an elf. So there are opportunities regardless of age or gender. Anyhow, I want to thank our guests and also thank our sponsor, who is the Wonder Bash, coming up again in Grand Rapids, Michigan on April the 18th through the 20th. Be sure to go check out the website over there at morethantricks.com. And also, I would appreciate if you could give us a 5-star report. Just go to whatever platform that you use, preferably iTunes, but whatever you're going to be using. I understand Google is going to be changing their platform here shortly, and so they won't be carrying the podcast. It's being transmuted over to another server, apparently, so Google's not going to be handling that soon. But anyhow, I appreciate if you could give us a 5-star review as well as some complimentary comments. That would be great and help our podcast to grow. So until next week, stay well, get booked, and remember to live life and live magic. This is Scotty out.